Hello and welcome into another episode of Gifted Kid, Messy Adult, the show where potential went to die. I'm your host, Ellie Michaels.
And I'm your host, Jessica Michaels.
And today we're talking revenge bedtime procrastination.
It really stinks. Do you know what revenge bedtime procrastination is, Ellie, or have you had a recent experience?
Just for the past, 36 years? Well, I know that the term itself is actually a Chinese term that mostly came up around the infamous 996 Chinese work schedule, where you work from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week.
That sounds like my personal hell. It's either that or me working in a shoe store would be my personal hell. If I had to work 9 to 9 and then to 6 days a week in a shoe store, then, I'd rather be on fire.
No, it apparently with that schedule, most people only have about an hour a day to eat and shower and be a person, and then they have to go to bed if they're going to get enough sleep to be healthy. And lots and lots and lots of people would choose staying up and socializing and reading the internet and watching videos and whatever rather than actually going to sleep. And I found not a whole lot of official numbers or studies on this. There was one thing that was a study about procrastination amongst the Dutch that said that procrastinators were more likely to not actually go to bed when they should. We would procrastinate it. But also that was from 2014, and the average Dutch work week was 29 hours at the time.
So the Dutch are lazy and procrastinators is what you're saying, right?
Oh yeah, no, entirely. No, all of these... All of these studies presented this as a problem for productivity and health to be productive and a contributing member of society. And none of them were hey, maybe people shouldn't work an insane amount of time. Maybe we actually need time to be people and socialize, because we're social beings.
And people who are neurodivergent, so especially people with ADHD, it seems are where it is most prevalent, but in just about any neurodivergent subtype, I think especially, I could see this really happening with former gifted kids, gifted adults, because it's so easy to get sucked into something, especially if you're not supposed to be doing it. If I'm supposed to be sleeping and I want to be sleeping, but there are videos online where I can learn the history of the potato, clearly that's what I'm going to do. Yeah, I've learned a lot about Peruvian potatoes. Did you know there are over 400 varieties of potatoes? And some of them have skin so thick, you really, it's an art to peel them. So we have very few varieties here in the US, but in Peru, they've been part of a whole societal issue, of course, regarding forced labor and all of these things. And this is what I would rather do, apparently, than sleep, which is very frustrating.
Well, the thing that always strikes me is the term revenge bedtime procrastination. And the Chinese workers that were interviewed by this were very clear that, my day is not my own. I don't get to choose what I'm doing through almost all of my life. And so I am choosing to do this. I am taking revenge and getting some of my life back. And I think there's a good overlap there with neurodivergent people, because the DSM-6 just came out and it said that there's a 96% comorbidity of being neurodivergent and having sleep disorders of one or a dozen kind, particularly delayed sleep phase syndrome, where our circadian rhythms just don't run the same as neurotypicals. We're a couple hours behind. And so we've spent our entire lives trying to okay, gotta go to sleep at the normal time and do the thing, because we always wake up tired. But the reason we always wake up tired, it's because we're not supposed to be awake yet. Everybody's like, what are you doing? Lay back down.
I am tired every single moment of the day. I wake up exhausted, which is so frustrating. At any point in time, I could lay down on the floor of a movie theater and take a sticky nap.
Ugh.
It just shows you how ready I am to sleep at any point in time during the day, except for when I actually lay down to go to sleep. And then I would rather be doing anything else. I think part of the problem, too, is a lot of neurodivergent people have comorbid physical conditions, chronic pain conditions, autoimmune conditions. I have a chronic pain condition that, you know, keeps me from sleeping more than anything. So the tired always has to be stronger than the pain that I'm in. And so that throws in another complicating factor. So it doesn't take me too much. Usually what'll happen is I'll be in pain. I'll start watching YouTube or TikTok or listening to a book and playing a game. And then the pain pills kick in, but I'll still stay up playing the game or listening to the book. I'm listening to Dungeon Crawler Carl right now, and I'm doing a re-listen, and that I did probably for 2 hours last night, past the point where my back stopped hurting and I could go to sleep. I was fighting to keep my eyes open, which is so silly. It's so silly, but I do it so frequently.
I think part of it also, at least personally, I have that really fun pathological demand avoidance where basically if it's, in the eternal words of Jimmy Kimmel, if it's on the calendar, I don't want to do it. And it's not so much I don't want to do it, is that my brain goes, no, we're not doing that. Having someone else dictating what you're doing all day, I mean, whether it's your boss or your desire not to be, you know, unhoused because you're too poor, pulls mask off Scooby-Doo villain, old man capitalism, when the entirety of your life is dedicated to not being impoverished, going to bed at your given bedtime is another assignment that you're given. It's another demand on you that is not your own choice. Mm-hmm. And add to that the part where at night, nobody really wants anything from you. Nobody's really demanding anything. Like, that is our time. That's why when you're laying in bed and you're like, ooh, tomorrow I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to turn my entire life around. Yeah. And then the morning happens and you have all of these other demands on you and you realize like, oh, I can't completely change my life around. I need to finish these TPS reports. Like, so it just seems like nighttime has always been the only free time, safe time, personal time.
Yeah, I tend to, right before I fall asleep or after I'm supposed to be sleeping, that's when I have my best business ideas. And that's when I have my ideas for, oh, tomorrow I need to accomplish this, 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 and this. And so sometimes those are, you know, I can put 2 minutes of thought into something at that time and hours of thought into something during the day, and my best thoughts are going to come just in that time. And I think that's probably because of just what you said, there isn't any other demand on me at that point. So my brain can just kind of go and, you know, and think and be free. Of course, then the problem is I'm tired, so I don't want to write it down or pop it into an app and I forget about it. And then I wake up, you know, the next day and am mad at myself, but you know.
I had such a good idea the other night for what to rename my production business. I was like, that is so brilliant. That is perfect. And of course I didn't write it down. I have no idea. I don't even know if it was actually like a good idea or if it was like that half asleep, like hamster nipples. That'd be perfect. Like, but I think it also, it's compounded by the part of like adolescent and like teen humans first need more sleep than you need since you were a little kid because you're changing and growing and lots of stuff is happening, says the girl going through second adolescence. Also that period of your life is also sleep shifted, where time and time and time again they've done these studies with high school kids where they push the start time of high school back a couple hours and everybody's performance improves. Because your brain is still trying to pump out, no, stay asleep hormones, but you're up trying to, you know, read Chaucer or something. literature before 9 a.m. should be illegal.
I always had my math classes early, like at, because we started, I think we started at 7:04, as I recall. And then I always had like Algebra 2 or statistics or something math related very early, which is just, you know, I peaked at math in the third grade. I won a math contest in the third grade, and then it has been all downhill since then. So of all of my gifted abilities, math, for some reason, it started out being something that I could do. And then eventually just, it has just sort of winnowed away. So that was always really tough then, is to have like my least favorite, most hated subject first thing in the morning. But I'm wondering, as far as gifted kids and even like, you know, folks with, you know, that have autistic brains, or any situation where you are one of the people for whom potential was foisted upon you, and where, you know, that was always something that kind of your identity was as the smart kid. When you're an adult, you know, we talk about revenge bedtime procrastination being because you don't feel like your day belongs to you. I'm wondering if for some people it's bad because it feels like no part of your life belongs to you, because you don't know what you want. You don't know what you want to be. You don't know who you are. And so right now I don't have a day job. You know, I'm working exclusively with coaching clients and on my book and on all sorts of stuff. This should be the dream, right? Other than looming bankruptcy, right? This should be all my time, all things that I get to do. It should be within my control, but I still have revenge bedtime procrastination happening. And the only thing I can think of is it's just because there isn't a part of my life where I feel in control, or that I feel purposeful about. And so bedtime, I'm sort of taking revenge, not just on my day, but on my life.
Well, and I kind of think that a lot of this starts in adolescence and high school kind of age, just very formative for a lot of our behavioral patterns. And I mean, who has more demands on their time than a gifted kid? Like, you're doing extra difficult classwork through the day. You're doing probably 4 or 5 extracurriculars after class just because. Or, you know, you're the kind of person who's escaping their personal life and their family life through schoolwork. I don't know anybody like that. And so we developed this pattern. I certainly developed this pattern of, like, once it's dark and once I can't reasonably be demanded to do anything, that is me time. And that is socializing time. And that is, you know, art time and expression time. And I guess if you look at it from, like, evolutionary biology standpoint, which is mostly just made up, but, like, once it gets dark, if you're a hunter-gatherer, you can't really do anything. Like, you can hang out and do stuff in your camp, but the light's pretty terrible and it's pretty dangerous to go out. Like, not just, like, monsters in the dark, but, like, just walking around in the dark with no light source is a really easy way to hurt yourself really poorly or really badly.
I'm dyspraxic, so walking around under any circumstance is a prime opportunity for me to hurt myself, regardless of the lighting situation or, you know, the era in which we are speaking about.
So it almost feels like appropriate that it's like, oh, it's nighttime, it's time to stop being productive or whatever and spend time with our social group and whatever. But, you know, when you live in a single family home and your exposure to your friends is AOL Instant Messenger, that's what you wind up doing.
I'm older than you, so it wasn't even AOL Instant Messenger. It was definitely just AOL at first, before Instant Messenger. And then I got into a decent amount of early internet trouble in chat rooms before parents or anybody knew that you should absolutely not let teens and preteens just hang out in internet chat rooms. And before that, I think it was it Prodigy before that?
Yeah. Like the the electronica band? I thought they were British.
There are just so many options around things to do other than sleep. And this is different than anxiety, because a lot of us also have anxiety. So anxiety is, I want to go to sleep, but I can't, right? The thoughts are just spinning and, you know, and going and going. Insomnia, you know, these are all things that are already problems for so many of us. And then you throw this on top of it, where you have those rare nights where you could go to sleep and you just don't. You just don't.
Well, yeah. I mean, in that comorbidity section in the DSM-6, they also bring up that almost all of us as neurodivergent people, we take longer to fall asleep. So like the thing I was reading about this, like, oh, it takes neurodivergent people like 2 to 3 hours to fall asleep. And I was like, oh, other people can just like lay down and like go to sleep right away. Cause that's never happened in my life. Like even with like, I'm on actual sleep meds now. They're also for anxiety and depression, which is hilarious. But even then, like I take my pills and I have to sit around for a while and I have to lay down for a while. And then eventually I'll probably fall asleep. But it always has been like this ordeal. And I've gotten like yelled at for like my entire life for being lazy and like recalcitrant for not going to sleep. Like I'm trying. I'm laying here for hours doing nothing other than suffering my own brain's anxiety. I'm not trying to do this, you guys.
It's Although just the idea that works. You would do something because you have trouble with authority is not like the least believable thing that I've ever
heard. Well, I mean, of course, that's separate. I'm like, even when I'm not doing this out of spite, it just happens on its own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just one of those things, you know, in my heart of hearts, I don't believe that anybody wakes up rested. I mean, there are those people who have books and YouTube shows where like, I get up at 4 a.m. and I feel great. It's like, well, I'm up at 4 a.m. a lot, but it's not from the end that they are. We just approach it differently. I don't believe that any adult wakes up feeling like I am done sleeping. I am ready for the day. I don't want to sleep anymore. I have all the energy I need. I'm going to go. Like, I don't think that happens. I don't think that happens.
Yeah, that's a very common experience in neurodivergent circles, is that we just never feel rested because we don't. Because you have to shift your entire schedule away from what old man capitalism wants.
I don't even think that neurotypical people feel rested, do they?
I mean, reportedly, if we take them at their word, but, you know, neurotypicals lie.
I don't know. I just can't imagine what it would be like.
I was just listening to it. It was a maintenance phase about that lady who was awful. There's a lot of those.
Maintenance phase podcast, our favorite podcasts, Aubrey Gordon and Michael Hobbs. Brilliant.
And the Michael Hobbs expanded universe. the person who made my brain go, oh, I should do research for this podcast. It's like my job. but no.
I'm sure he'd be flattered that he had such a profound impact on you and your life, babe.
Hey, he got a pathological demand of wanting his trans girl to actually, you know, do work voluntarily. But there was that really good segment where this like influencer health lady posted about like, I wake up every morning at 5 and I want to cry because it's still dark out. But that's the time that I have to do stuff for me because blah, 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 blah. It was basically because I overextend myself way too much. I wake up at 5 and I'm miserable about it. I'm like, well, I wake up and I don't want to cry. So I think I might be actually a little bit ahead of you there, hun. Like you probably shouldn't dread getting up in the morning every day.
I don't know. I dread getting up in the morning every day. Like, I don't not want to be awake, but I don't want to be awake yet. Most days. I really just, like, I have never had the sensation of having had enough sleep. Usually if I get up, it's just because my back hurts so much I can't lay down anymore. And so I just, I just always want more sleep, which is even, it makes it even more ridiculous that when I can fall asleep, my brain is like, no, we're gonna play this game where you feed fish and make them mate so you can categorize their offspring by rarity, or just playing random, you know, three in a row games and watching YouTube videos. I watch videos about influencers I've never heard of that are fighting with each other. And the only way I know of them is because I've heard about them fighting with each other. I don't know who SS Sniper Wolf is, but I know that she is in deep stuff right now because she did some very, 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 like, she showed up at an influencer's house that she was, like, feuding with. She showed up at their house and streamed it. And so I don't know who these people are, but that's what my brain is like, oh, I would rather consume that than go to sleep. It's just...
SS Sniper Wolf? Are we talking, like, SS? Like, kind of, no, like, Nazi stuff here? Or are we, like...
I guess she's a reaction YouTuber. So she started off as a gamer, like a game. She streamed herself playing games. God, this is where I turn into my mother. This is the portion of the show where I turn into my mother. And I explain current things like somebody observing it in a zoo, right? So she started off playing video games on camera and people would just watch her play video games, I guess. And then she somehow transitioned to recording herself watching videos being human at them. And I guess there was some footage of her not watching anything and just recording random reactions. And some other YouTuber did like original content was like, hey, this is screwed up that somebody can make a bunch of money and YouTube like pushes this person and they don't really do anything original. Oh, and they don't credit other creators and whatnot. And then she got bad and showed up at this guy's house, which is just all sorts of bad. And so this is what my brain keys in on and is like, instead of the sleep you desperately need in order to be able to be an adult, to have a job, to be able to think and like pay your bills, my brain is like, this is the information that you desperately need in your life. And it's much more important than falling asleep. Which is just insane. So we've given sort of our experiences with this whole thing. How can we combat revenge, bedtime, procrastination?
In my experience, drugs, basically.
Should point out, this is probably a good time to point out, I probably should have pointed it out earlier, that if you are going to go to prescription medication for these types of situations, definitely a licensed medical provider would be the right person to see. We talked about the DSM. We brought that up. We are not clinicians. We cannot diagnose. We are not medical professionals. So definitely seek out a licensed psychologist or medical provider in order to get a diagnosis. But you certainly still can read the information. When my clients come to me with this type of situation, one of the things that we find that is most helpful is routine. And a lot of people focus on the bedtime routine. And anybody who's ever had any sleep problems knows they've gotten the sleep hygiene spiel, right? Stop looking at phones or any screens an hour before you go to bed. Make sure your bedroom's completely dark. It's good to have your bedroom a little bit cool. All of those things are still true. And it is good to get yourself in a routine, right? So maybe you start to wind down at 8 o'clock is when, you know, the lights dim a little bit. And then your You know, phone goes away an hour after that, you know, and you can kind of make that a routine. But I think it's important in this situation to create a routine for your day, because the whole thing about this is that time at night, it's like you're stealing it back because you don't feel like any part of your day has been for you, for whatever reason, whether it's big existential problems or whether it's just overextension type of, you know, situation, whatever it is. If you have kids, I can imagine how difficult it would be to try to get any part of your day for you. So this is something that I acknowledge can be more difficult for people with kids, but everything seems to be more difficult for people with kids. So I certainly feel for you there. But if you can get into a routine and as much as possible, have yourself set it. So even if you have to go to work, you have to be at work at 8 and you leave work at 5 and you have to pick kids up. And even though some of those choices are already made for you, there's something about you sitting down with a schedule and writing it yourself or determining yourself, okay, you know, work starts at 8, so I need to leave at 7:30. So I'm going to start getting ready at 7, or I'm going to get the kids up at 6:30 and we leave the house at 7. You know, when you kind of make those choices for yourself, that seems to sort of kick your brain into thinking that these are things that you have decided. And then throughout the day, as many times as you can, and it could be once, it could be 5 minutes, but at some point in the day, grab some time for yourself. Even if it's listening to an audiobook in the bathroom or while you are showering, you know, listening to some music that you like, or on a car ride, listening to a podcast. But make that, designate that my time where I'm going to consume what I want to consume. I'm going to think about what I want to think about. You know, a lot of, we'd love it to be big, but it's probably going to be small because we're grownups and we have lives to lead. But anything that you can reclaim as your own and be intentional about that routine. First of all, because neurodivergent people love routines. We're great with routines. We suck at habits. We're great with routines. But
yeah. But I hate it.
It can help you with that. It can help you with that idea of needing to take revenge. Another thing that you can do is just set some limits for yourself. When you realize you're forcing your eyes to stay open, you can think about, how is this serving me? You know, yeah, I'm enjoying what I'm doing right now. Am I enjoying this more than the sleep I would get? Is this better for me? Do I feel better about this right now than I do about sleeping? And sometimes the answer is yes. If the answer is yes, watch a couple more videos, but put a time limit on it. Say, I'm going to watch 15 more minutes of videos. I'm going to watch videos until, you know, till for 20 more minutes or until 1 o'clock in the morning. And then it's bedtime. Or I am going to make a compromise. I'm going to turn off the game that I'm playing while I'm listening to this podcast. And I'm just going to listen to the podcast. So I'll turn off the game right now. I will listen to this podcast for 15 more minutes. I'll set a sleep time on. You know, most of our technology has sleep timers, use a sleep timer. But so compromise with yourself. Be nice to yourself. Like, your brain is obviously trying to get something that it wants. It's trying to tell you something. So be nice to it. But most of us in the harsh light of day will look back and go, I wish we got more sleep. So if you actually challenge yourself in that moment to say, would I rather have more sleep? For a lot of us, the answer is going to be yes. It's just catching yourself doing it.
I use a version of that like all the time. I'm like, okay, I'm running my dailies in Fallout 76 and I have stuff to do and it is currently 11:50. So at noon, I'm going to stop playing and go do stuff. I'll just give myself a nearby time cutoff. And then when it gets to noon, I will say in my head, I am the best person in the world because I am actually following through in this. And I'll use a smug sense of superiority to kind of push myself to actually do the thing. I mentioned earlier that, I mean, I've had sleep disorder problems my entire life. And it's gotten me in trouble more than I think anything else in my entire life. Like, worse than, like, 2-for-1 vodka nights is the part where I just couldn't get to sleep and I just couldn't wake up. I think Jess just had a flashback to when we were dating.
Yeah, because then we chased it with Malort, which was even worse.
Well, that's just because we were screwing with, you know, out-of-towners. But yeah, no, I finally just faced the music and talked to my psychiatrist. And it was just like, I cannot sleep. What can we do about this? And we just started throwing different prescriptions at it until we found one that worked. Naturally, it wears off in efficacy after a while because my cast iron liver is just like, oh, look, a drug? Not anymore. And just destroys whatever goes in my system, mostly painkillers and like anesthesia doesn't work on me very well. So I basically just have to, yeah, like you said, I have to have a routine and I have to have a set time when things happen. But having prescribed sleep medication has been a game changer. Like, I sleep every night now, and most of the time I sleep through the whole night. It's amazing, and I feel better than I think I've ever felt in my life.
It's crazy to see. It is really weird to see, because I'm used to just, it's like I have this whole other life that you are not party to because you are asleep just the whole time. Mm-hmm. It's very weird. But to do that, you've had to work really, really hard. And I know part of your routine is that you take your nighttime meds at the same time each night. And I know that. So if you're, you know, doing something, then I know that you need to take your nighttime meds. So I can just give a quick reminder, like, hey, be taking bedtime meds. And then it can cue you to help stay in that schedule. So if you do have a spouse, a significant other, a roommate, just an accountability partner.
Accountability buddy.
An accountability buddy is very helpful in these situations just to help reinforce that routine. Because again, we're not good with habits. We're not good at just doing the things out of muscle memory. We're much better with routines, but they aren't always ingrained in us. And lots of us have a terrible sense of time. So any help that you can enlist with those are real good. But taking bedtime meds at the same time every night is definitely part of a routine that works. We usually, you know, we'll move into a darker space and just sort of slowly wind down from that point in time.
We have smart bulbs where the lights in our bedroom are all Wi-Fi connected LED lights. And then built into like our smart home setup is the lights start dimming and turning themselves off at a certain point in the night. Like 2 weeks into having smart bulbs, you swear off having to get up and walk across the room and touch something to make the lights change. Like some kind of peasant. Like the part where like you can't just shout at the computer that's spying on you to be like, hey, turn the lights off. It's amazing how quickly you get used to it and how actually useful it is. And on the other end, in the morning, the lights turn on by themselves. They kind of slowly turn on, and that really helps with waking up. Mm-hmm. At least I think it does.
Oh, absolutely. If you don't have smart bulbs, a sunrise alarm clock will do something very similar. Uh-huh. It's better for the waking up. You know, you turn it on and it gradually gets lighter. So you can set it to start doing that like 10 minutes before you need to be awake. But yeah, the lights, and they also change color. We talked about blue light before.
Yeah.
So they'll actually turn a different color and start to dim so that when we need to go to sleep, they have totally turned off. And that's definitely a cue for us. Like, oh, okay, it's time to go to sleep. So as much as technology is, you know, not always the best thing for us, sometimes it can be our friend and be a part of that toolbox to help us get to sleep. So as much as you can use that to help you, certainly do.
You can also, we all do like a blue light filter on our phone, tends to turn on at nighttime. You can go a step further and change your phone's sleep thing to monochrome. So it's not a bright, colorful, happy thing. And if you're like me, you get annoyed where like first the blue light filter turns on and the colors look all weird and stupid. And then it switches to black and white. And I'm like, well, this is much less appealing to my brain. And it's like, yeah, I can trick you back, you weird brain.
Whereas I'm like, I've played this coloring game so much, I can tell what colors they are. Even in black and white, just by like their gradient and the placement. So, you know, you could get around anything, but it's good to have all of these things in your toolbox because chances are one thing will work for you. And if it doesn't, if it stops working for you, then you can move to another set of tools. So we would love to hear from you and what tips and tricks you have to help you fall asleep or to fight against revenge, bedtime procrastination. And you can drop those in the comment section of our YouTube channel. We do post a fuller version. You get to, if you want, all the behind the scenes action, the ums and ahs and the curses and the, you know, the jokes that didn't quite land. You can get all of that on your YouTube channel and pop your comments into there, and we will take a look. We'll certainly credit any great ideas as they come up, and that's where we can take a look and find more questions that you would like us to answer on the show.
And if you'd like to email us, you can find us at giftedkidmessyadult@gmail.com. And you can find our Facebook page on giftedkidmessyadult, not on Twitter or X because I'm trans and want to live. So those are really the main places you can find us. If you'd like to be a guest or if you have a particular subject that you really want us to dive into, toss us an email and we will absolutely check it out. But I guess that's about it, right? Oh, right. The important thing.
New episodes of the show drop every Wednesday. Please rate and review us. And that is certainly helpful to us. Share the podcast, but rate and review us on Apple Podcast to help along the show. And we greatly appreciate it.
And if you want to check out some neurodivergent coaching and life advice, you can check us out at CoachJessicaMichaels.com. You can get your free consultation and get told that you're not a screw-up. Your brain's just different, and that's okay. But until next time, then, I've been Ellie Michaels.
I'm Jessica Michaels.
Take care of each other out there.